This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become the start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I am so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our new sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. The company was founded in Sweden, 1986, by fashion designer Panos Papadopoulos. Panos Emporio is characterized by innovation and distinct design that breeds style, quality, and individuality. All Panos Emporio products combine simplicity and sophisticated clean lines with outstanding quality and fit. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Right now, I'm sitting right across a giant. Sean Stevenson is the three-foot giant that has inspired millions of people around the world through his YouTube videos, books, and speeches. His TED Talk, The Prison of Your Mind, might have been the most authentic speech I've ever heard. When Sean was born, the doctors told his parents that he would be dead within the first 24 hours of his life. 38 years later, he's still going strong and ridding the world of insecurities. I'm so excited to have a deep, raw, and honest conversation with this man. So let's get started. Welcome, Sean Stevenson.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on the program.
I'm so grateful. This was, you're in town and you took the opportunity to come here. And I am truly grateful. I had a hard time sleeping this night because I'm so excited. You've really been an inspiration. So I just want to ask you, Sean, who are you really as a person?
I'm someone who's trying to figure out my own mind. I'm trying to figure out how to navigate emotion. I'm somebody who's trying to navigate my own challenges and my own dreams. And because I'm learning who I am, along the way, I'm learning a lot about the human experience. And then I share my findings with people such as yourself on amazing programs like this and with audiences like I did this morning before I got here and through the videos that I do through my social media. All I like to do, or all I believe I'm really doing, is sharing my findings of the navigating that I'm doing within my own self. And a lot of people think I'm confident every single day and that I'm always positive and always happy, and that's not true. I navigate challenges and moments where I question myself. And at the end of the day, I'm really wanting to know how to live life without being eaten alive by insecurity. You know, one of my mentors asked me once, "Sean, why were you born?" And my thought process took me to the realization that I'm really here to rid the world of insecurity, to help people live life not shackled down to that fear that they're not enough, that insufficient energy of like, man, I'm not tall enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough. And the truth is, you are enough. You don't need anything outside of you. You don't need a certain amount of money or a certain appearance. There's nothing you need to go get to feel like you're worthy of love and validation and approval and to have a good life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And we're gonna use this hour to dig deep in this, because I think a person like you, it seems like you've been thinking a lot in your life and you have developed a lot as a human being, which I love. I have an interesting question to you. How do you think your life would have looked if personal growth didn't exist and personal development?
I don't even want to think about it, but I will. I know I would have become a very possibly bitter person. You know, I was a positive kid. Don't get me wrong. Before I knew what personal growth was, I had really incredible mentors as a child. Like, my parents were very amazing people, and they told me that I could, you know, that you need to believe in yourself and not to let the world bring you down. So I definitely had a positive attitude. So it's not to say I would have been completely stopped in my tracks without personal growth, but I would have played small. I would have lived out a life that maybe matched more of my container. I probably would have just, and there's nothing wrong with the life I would have chosen. I probably would have become something like a graphic designer and worked on a computer and just, you know, made enough money to survive and, you know, looked forward to the movies on the weekends compared to the life that I have now, where I have two homes, I get to travel the world, I have an incredibly smart, beautiful wife, I have a huge network of friends, and I get to be on amazing programs such as this, sharing my message. There's no way I would have played large the way I did because of personal growth. Yeah.
So it kind of gave you courage?
Absolutely. Just also, it gave me the vision to think bigger and to not let rejection and upset stop me, because you know this to be true. When you want to succeed, just that desire isn't enough. You actually have to roll your sleeves up and get to work at it every single day and face rejection every single day. People saying, you know, there's so many podcasts out there, like, why is yours any different? Or there's a lot of speakers out there, why should we hire you? And it's easy to get beat down by the sheer number of people and the number of people that tell you no. And so for me, it helped me to push forward and to know that rejection and dealing with doubters and haters outside of me, that's a part of the experience. You can't succeed without going through those steps. So it certainly gave me the probably more of the persistence to keep going on the days that I wanted to quit.
I love that. And for me, I'm from Sweden. So coming here is being in a new country, talking in a different language, trying to spread your message. I think I have come across a lot of, in my mind, hard times because I don't think I'm enough sometimes to succeed here.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give someone like me that I really want to give as much as I can and inspire, but sometimes I can feel that too, like it's too many people. Why should they listen to me? And what type of advice could you give someone like me?
Well, the best piece of advice that comes to mind right away is you need to be very careful who you're associating to and who you consider your friends. And I would rather have three really positive friends that believe in me, that encourage me, that pick me up when I fall down, than 100 people that are just kind of there for me. 100 people that are somewhat believing in me, but sometimes talking behind my back. So you need to have an empowering environment. You need to be surrounding yourself with people that see something in you on days that you don't see it yourself. Because when life gets you down and you feel upset and you want to quit, when you fall and you're surrounded by amazing people, they'll tell you, no, you cannot think this way. You're better than that. There's more here than you are giving yourself credit for. Get back up, and that are that loving, encouraging force on the days that you want to quit. So I would say, first of all, make sure you have an incredible group of peers, and secondarily, I would say you need to have incredible mentors. Yeah. You need people that have already achieved that which you want to do and have. So people that have the accomplishments that you're looking forward to having, that are willing to take you under their wing, that are willing to tell you, look, you're a wonderful guy, you have a great message, but you need to change this about your marketing, or you need to know this about your audience. You need to be talking about this specific thing in your books, in your podcast, whatever it may be. They're willing to give you the tough love. So you need incredible friends, you need incredible mentors. That would be the first two things. And the last thing is, you need to have a set of rituals, what I call my When Life Works list. I travel with it. It's a graph, and on my graph, I have going down on one side all the activities that I do that make my life work. Things like hydrating during the day, getting enough liquid, making sure I'm exercising, making sure I'm eating right, making sure I'm meditating and praying, that I'm reading good materials, that I'm working on connecting to my wife and our marriage, that I'm reaching out to my friends. And all these things are on the list. And then as the list goes over on the other axis, I look at all the days of the month. And then each day I mark off what I'm doing on my list. And what's amazing about this self-care list is the more things you check off doing in your day on your self-care rituals, the better your mood will be. So when you're feeling beat down, the best thing you could do is go to your self-care rituals. Yeah. Because you're in control of that. You're not in control of how many people like you. You're not in control of what the economy is going to do. You're not in control of the weather, other people's interpretation of you. You're not in control of practically everything. The only two things you're in control of is how you interpret what's happening, and then what are you doing about it. And so when you're having a tough day, what can you do about it? Well, I can go back to my self-care rituals, take care of myself. Because what I've learned is that the cure to insecurity is self-care. The better care we take, it's amazing. The more things on your list that you check off in a day, the better you're going to feel. When you feel good, you start taking bigger risks and you start pushing to get back up. But people always, they get into the trap of thinking that their mood is just some kind of magical force that shows up, that there's nothing they can do about it. But your attitude and your mood is very much based on what you're doing with your day-to-day rituals.
You're so right. I'm actually working on a book now with morning routines, because it's based on the people I meet on my podcast and what successful people do in the morning. Because mm-hmm. what I have noticed, those routines change people's lives, sure. right? Yeah. So could you share, what do you do in the morning? What's your morning routines?
So it varies depending on if I'm back in at my home or if I'm on the road. But for the most part, it's journaling 3 pages a day when I wake up.
What do you write about?
Well, it's pretty much just dumping whatever's in my mind. So it may be a story that came out of a dream that I just had. Or maybe it's rewriting my goals. Or maybe it's writing down some of my frustrations. Am I upset about something? Getting it out on paper. You know, the mind, it's like a cup. You need to dump it out. You need to empty it to let something new into it. So I try to dump whatever's in my mind out into 3 pages a day. I got this concept from an incredible book by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way. And it talks about what she calls morning pages, writing these 3 pages a day. No matter what it is, just sit down, write 3 pages a day. Because I believe that most people, that if they just wrote 3 pages a day, they wouldn't need their antidepressants. You know, some people need medication, but most of us, we just need to connect with ourselves. We need to be writing out what we're thinking. And you know, it's amazing. I journal 3 pages a day. And then at the end of last year, what I did is I read the last 5 years of my journals. Wow. And I learned a lot about myself. I found trends. I found that there are certain things that I had made huge progress on, and there's other things that I am no further along 5 years later that I need to make sure I focus on. And it's amazing to be able to study yourself. That's how we started this interview. I said, I'm a student of myself. I'm trying to figure out and navigate my own emotions, my own dreams, my own fears, and then share my findings with the world.
I love that. And that's why I'm doing this. I want to learn from others and implement it in my own life and create a good life and also share my findings. Because knowledge, if we don't share it, it's waste.
It's empty, yeah.
It's empty. So never believe a prediction that doesn't empower you. You said that. I love that. Can you just explain?
Sure. Well, you're given a lot of labels in your life. And people will tell you, you're not going to achieve this. You're not going to make it. You're not going to survive physically. You're going to be told a lot of things throughout the course of your life. And I found that if you want to succeed, you want to survive even, you can only believe the predictions that empower you. If they limit you, you can't put your focus on that. Somebody, I know when that talk came out, that TED talk is what you're referring to. I remember reading the comments and somebody said, oh, well, he's putting out bad advice because what if you really are given the prognosis of death and you have wishful thinking? Well, my mentality is, if you're given the prognosis of death,
you got that.
You have the only chance of survival by blocking that out and going after something else. So maybe they are right. And maybe you only get to live 6 months, right? Do you want to live like that, the 6 months or the last months of your life and how awful or how horrible? Or do you want to go after it saying, you know what, I'm gonna keep living and pushing to focus on what can I do and see how long I do get to be here. And believing a prediction within yourself that matters. You know, they say that when people are given the prognosis of death, when they have a reason to survive, when they have a vision that's pulling them into their future, they will live far longer than somebody that doesn't have that vision. You know, if you want to see your grandchildren walk down the aisle at their weddings, if you want to see the company, you know, get to $10 million, if you want to, you know, have any vision pulling you into your future, you have a much better chance of survival and success. You cannot listen to the predictions that limit you, because then you'll give all your energetic attention and then you'll feel small and then you'll start to be scared and then you'll feel like the world is closing in on you and you'll begin to quit and just pack it up and life will seem so dark.
Yeah. I'm curious about your dad and what role he has played in your life, because what I understood when you became a teenager, he quit his job to be around you. Can you just talk us through that and what affection he has given you in your life?
Yeah, so my father has taught me a lot. He was a stay-at-home dad when I was in junior high on. He taught me so much about you need to be there and be strong for the people around you. You know, my dad has been a phenomenal man that has taught me about being honest and, you know, doing the right thing, you know, having integrity and following through when you tell somebody you're going to do something. And it's been a phenomenal experience, you know, until just recently he would travel with me. Now he's 70 years old, he's a grandfather, and he's taking care of his grandkids with my mom. And but man, we saw the world together. He traveled with me working. He took me to work at the White House. He went to college with me. An incredible man, and I'm so blessed that he has been my father.
Yeah. I love that. And that has been kind of crucial for your life, right?
Absolutely.
It's important. Families, I had a boxer here a couple of weeks ago. He said, 100% for my work, 1,000% for my family.
I love it.
I love that quote. Let's talk about bullying yourself. A lot of people do bully themselves and talk negatively. How do we, those people that are listening now that are bullying themselves, that what can we do to help them?
Well, first of all, listen to the internal dialogue you're having. And would you talk to your friends that way? You know, most people, if they talk to their friends the way they talk to themselves, they wouldn't have any friends. Yeah. They would all leave each other because they would say, why are you being so hard on me? Why are you being so mean? I can't believe you said that about my appearance, about who you think I am. But we have no problem speaking so harshly to ourselves. So first of all, we have to just observe what's the internal dialogue like on the inside. When we're really harsh on ourselves, I look at it this way. You need to shift three things if you want to stop bullying yourself. One, stop focusing on what you don't like about yourself. And start focusing on what do you like about yourself. What is amazing? What is great? And if that's a hard list to come up with, that should tell you a lot. That should tell you you need to be focused more on that. Then you should be focused on gratitude. Like, what's great about your life? What do you have access to? If you're listening to this program right now, you have enough access to technology. That's a huge advantage compared to most people on this planet. You know, most people on this planet don't even have an elementary education or the ability to read. It's amazing that the technology that you have access to right here and right now, take advantage of that. So stop focusing on what you don't like about yourself. Stop focusing on what you don't have. Start looking at what you do have. And stop worrying. Stop worrying about, you know, all these big fears about, oh, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to get divorced. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be alone. Stop focusing on what you don't want. Start focusing on what you do want. This is why I rewrite my goals. Almost every day I rewrite my goals, the things that I'm working on. What do I want? And when you start shifting your internal dialogue, shifting your internal focus, and also shifting your physiology, you know, in NLP, neurolinguistic programming, they talk about how you really do get severely influenced by your physiology. You are incredibly influenced that if you really talk soft and you roll your shoulders forward and you don't make any eye contact, you basically are conditioning yourself to be shy and alone, as opposed to rolling your shoulders back, keeping your chin up, talking with a voice of confidence, looking people in the eyes, and putting out the energy through your body and your posture that you deserve to be listened to and that you deserve respect. And when you shift your focus, when you shift your internal dialogue, and when you shift your physiology, it helps you to break that bullying cycle from within.
And thank you guys for listening in. And again, a big thanks to our sponsor, Panos Emporio, Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand.
I love their bikinis.
They're beautiful, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Check them out at panos.com. And if you have any questions and comments, please email me at info@ilesuccess.com and check us out at ilesuccess.com. And if you like this, share it with your friends and family, because we want to impact millions and millions of people, and we can't do it alone. So thanks again, and have a wonderful day.